Hello, everyone. This is Debbie Weil, and this is another interview for Beta Author Boost. And our guest today is Lisa Weinert, and we're going to talk about all about book publicity. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, Debbie. It's great to be here.
And I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, am I?
You did it perfectly. You get an A+.
Oh, an A+. Oh, God, I love that. Let me do a little introduction here, and then I will plunge into the question. So for everyone listening, Lisa has spent the past decade spearheading national publicity, editorial, and digital marketing campaigns for best-selling and award-winning authors. And she's deeply experienced, and this is the part I love, and I think it's very pertinent for all of us listening. She is deeply experienced with both old and new media. She started out and she worked at Random House, so in traditional big New York publishing for over 7 years, first as a publicist and then as an editor, which is a very unusual transition. She also worked at Open Road Media, which is a newish company, an innovative ebook company that publishes well-known authors. And she's worked with self-published authors whose books she has subsequently sold to traditional publishers like Random House. And she's run her own book PR company, Lisa Weinert Consulting, since 2011. And she's consulted with digital publishers like The Atavist and digital groups like Goodreads, WeKiosk, Audible, and others. So that gives you a background. So, Lisa, my first question is going to sound so simplistic, but I'm just dying to hear how you're going to answer it. And it is, what is book publicity, and how is it different from book marketing?
You know, Debbie, when you sort of mentioned this differentiation, made me think a lot. I think, you know, this is sort of people, I think it's changed what it means to be a book publicist, but because digital marketing, I think, has really changed the field for what marketing means. But I think the most simple way of answering that question, the way I was always taught, is basically publicity is completely editorial-driven, content-driven. It's about sort of seducing the audience, whether the audience is online, social media, media, you know, traditional media or events, but it's basically you don't spend any money. It's all the ideas. And that marketing on one level or the other costs something. And it's also about whether it's advertising or placement, store placement, that sort of thing. For me personally, working on both sides of it, it's really about audience. And when I'm doing publicity, I really think of the audience being the reader or the bookseller or a journalist, basically, or blogger type person. And marketing, you're really looking more at people within the trade, people that are helping all together get the book out there, whether it's sort of behind-the-scenes digital marketing, promotions kinds of things, or in-store placements, advertising. But it's basically people on that side of the fence within the industry is how I personally define it. I don't know if anyone would agree with me on that, but it helps me figure out sort of which hat I'm putting on.
That's a great answer, and actually it is extremely clarifying for me and helpful. So let me ask another question, because you and I had the pleasure of actually meeting in person.
I wish we were there now.
In New York, we met at this wonderful club in Lower Manhattan, and we were having a glass of wine a week ago when we were talking, so that revealing a little bit there. But so at one point you used the phrase entrepreneurial publishing. And so what is entrepreneurial publishing in your view, and how does self-publishing fit into that?
Well, I think like you, Debbie, I really don't care for the term self-publishing. I think it's all kind of, I think the real shift in my mind in the last sort of 10 years, 15 years, that's really, you know, last year, last 5 years has become the exponential rate of change is astonishing and mesmerizing to watch. But I think it's gone from an industry that's really publisher-focused that, you know, from the author's perspective, there's all these hoops that you go through. You have to get an agent, you've got to sell to the right editor, and then you go through all these processes. And the publisher really sort of has the power. And I think we've really shifted into an age where the author has the power, whether they're with a publisher or they're sort of like finding their own path towards bringing their book to market. It's author-driven, and I think it's an age that really rewards an entrepreneurial spirit because it really rewards somebody that's just going to take control over the project, figure out what is the best means to bring my book to market, And they really have to find new paths and invent new ways really every single day to make it work.
It's interesting, and I agree. I think it makes it a very exciting time. So many doors are opened. So if an author has no budget or, say, a small budget for book promotion, what can he or she do? So what are your sort of recommended, let's call them, guerrilla tactics for book PR or book promotion?
I mean, I think one of the, just to pause for a moment there, and I'm sure you agree, having sort of just as a reader and publisher and enthusiast yourself, I think what I love so much about working in books, it's sort of genre specific. And what I would say to kind of a crime fiction author is so different than what I would say to a business author, to what I would say to a memoirist or, you know, debut novelist. Or I think they're really different audiences that behave differently. So I sort of say that up front, and I would never walk into a room and say, like, here are the 5 things or here's the 30 things and, you know, this will work and these are the steps to take. I think what's beautiful about the industry is that there's a real subtlety, and it's sort of like a dance that you do with your audience. So number one, whether you have a ton of money or absolutely no money, is you really have to know your audience and who you want your audience to be. What is your brand? Who do you want to reach? You have to kind of choose one target, at most 3 targets. And then, of course, you go for many other targets along the way, but to be really steadfast about that. So I think being expert in the kind of reader that you want and everything about them, like who are they, how old are they, where do they live, where do they shop, how do they shop, where do they buy books, where do they consume culture, what other kinds of culture do they consume, what are their shopping habits, all of those things. And if you have, you know, a budget of $0, you will really focus your energies on outlets like social media and, you know, events and editorial budget, the sort of op-eds, things that you can sort of generate with your own person. And then as you get, you know, if you have a larger budget, you will just add to that, but I don't think the actual campaign changes. You just have more, maybe, like, tools in your shed.
I think
that makes sense.
It definitely makes a lot of sense. Do you, I mean, I know you are a book publicist, but do you recommend that someone hire a book publicist, or is this, I mean,
I guess it
depends on how much they want to, you know, how much of a splash they want to make when they launch their book.
I don't think it's about splash. I think it's about your personal story. You know, the other day I was meeting with an author who I, you know, admire hugely, and we had this amazing conversation and connection, and I think there was really awesome work that we could do with each other. He happened to be with this big house, and I think his house has a terrific publicity team, and there's really no reason to pull somebody else in, and I think they really know how to publish this kind of book. I think, you know, there's other people I know. There's a particular author I can think of who has a tremendous entrepreneurial spirit and background and success, you know, really with different kinds of companies and ventures and of different types. I think she's going to do a better job, and she's going to maybe lean on different people to get, I mean, basically the closer you get to the author's voice and the more authentic it is, the more effective the campaign is. But I think, I mean, most of my clients, the people that reach out to me throughout the day, every day, there's a huge range. So I think that it can really help, but it's not necessarily essential. I don't think that you, if for whatever reasons, you know, don't have the means or interest in bringing in an outside independent publicist, that it means you won't have a strong campaign. I also think that if you're with a big house or a very reputable place, that is, you know, you really need to be as alert as someone that's bringing their book to market and not necessarily just sort of sit back and trust what the house is doing.
Well, that's something that I've emphasized a lot to the beta authors, is that, you know, even if, and this is just true today across the board, I think, for fiction or nonfiction, that even if you have a contract with a big New York publisher and they're publishing your book, they don't necessarily do much in the way of anything in terms of promoting it, and you have to be prepared to do that yourself. So it's interesting, is it, you know, you get that leg up, if you will. Well, it's nice if you can get a big advance, but you get the leg up of the brand behind you. But you still don't get, for most mid-list or lesser-known first-time authors, you really don't get much promotion. You know, one of my questions I wanted to ask you, but I'm going to ask it, then I'm going to answer it, then I'm going to ask you again. But what are the biggest no-nos in book promotion? And I'm going to answer, my answer is, I constantly get emails out of the blue from, I guess, their book publicist saying, my client has this book on blah, blah. It's usually something related to business. Often it's related to something that's really technology-driven that's way too technical for me. You know, would you be interested in reviewing it, or can I set up an interview for you with the author? And I'm thinking, you know, this is so far off the market, and I'm just not interested. So is that, I mean, is how do you, can, and if an author doesn't have a publicist, can an author do that? But I think you have to know exactly who you're approaching.
No, I think authors can be very effective pitching their own work, but exactly. I mean, I think the cardinal sin is not knowing what you're talking about, whether it's not knowing really the book very well or not knowing the outlet and really what they do. I think that there's, you know, you should spend just as much time pulling your media list and really researching who you're reaching out to and why they would be interested as you do pitching them. And I think people sometimes get so caught up in the moment and so urgent about getting pitches out there that they'll just, you know, either blanket a list. Like one major faux pas is, you know, sending blasts. I think publicity blasts, unless it's related to major breaking news by a major, major author, rarely work. And you can really get blacklisted, especially by bloggers, for either mass emailing them or not being intimately just familiar with their voice and their interests.
Can a self-published author do that kind of research with
Definitely.
Different media? You know, could be an industry magazine, or, I mean, you know, if they just sit down and think really, really hard about, you know, who and what their target audience reads. I mean, I suppose you could really put together your own list. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's sort of what you know, a lot of the daily work of being a publicist is. And I think a lot of, I mean, I think at the end of the day and beginning of the day, the author is the best publicist for their title. And they should, you know, reach out to those communities and figure it out by, like, topic and region and media type. And I think that most, you know, a lot of media outlets are a lot more responsive hearing directly from the author anyway, because there's so much enjoyment in actually forging that relationship and having an organic conversation that leads into a story rather than being sort of hit over the head by a publicist.
Do you think it makes a difference at this point whether it's an ebook or a print book? I mean, what if it's an ebook only? Do you think there's less of a sort of looking down on
that? I think it's still really challenging to get major review attention for e-only.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on the genre again. I think it's really difficult to blanket, you know, book PR. I think business titles are really different from, like, romance titles, really different from literary fiction. But I think that, you know, for major releases and trade publishing, e-only or any other kind of format, audio, or some kind of combination, it's hard to get a serious review in the major pages still.
Right.
I think
that will
change soon, though.
Yeah, that's for reviews, though, but maybe not for bloggers. But so, you know, if an author, this is true, I think, of the current group of beta authors who are professionals, they're older, they're very busy, you know, some of them have corporate jobs, some are consultants, and frankly, they're not really very active on social media. And so then my question is, if the author is not active on social media, and if the audience for their book, you know, say it is people who want to read about nonprofit boards and governance, if the audience is not active on social media, what do you recommend as smart ways to promote the book?
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think that audience is probably really active on LinkedIn. And that would be a really interesting place to do some targeted promotion. I think doing, I haven't read that book, but let's say it's giving direct advice or feedback about how to run your company kind of thing. I think webinars and webisodes promoted on LinkedIn can be really effective. I think having regular updates there. I don't think you'd really do a lot on Facebook or necessarily Twitter, but I think there's a lot happening there, and there's probably a lot happening in community boards that are kind of interested in business development, business schools, those kinds of places. So I think there's a lot that can happen online. And I don't think everybody should be active on social media, and I definitely don't think everybody should be active on Twitter and Facebook. I think there's different platforms that are really specifically tailored towards different audiences and different subject matters that you, as an author, you know, want to dive into, just become expert in what your audience is interested in, I think, and also engage directly with their readers.
That's a really cool idea, by the way, is doing, you know, because almost everyone is on LinkedIn. And
LinkedIn is an incredibly powerful platform to promote books, especially business titles. It's such a targeted group. They're a group of readers, and it's really easy to find them. Whether it's a webisode, webinar, or sort of the updates that you can do or find or going into different groups, it's a really easy, transparent, effective way to sort of target micro communities. I think, I mean, that's the first place I would go if I was working on that title.
All right, well, that's going right into the beta author curriculum. LinkedIn.
Yeah, I think having a LinkedIn seminar. I have actually a number of people I've worked in. I've worked on a couple with a couple small companies that have either papers that they release regularly or books, and I brought in like LinkedIn experts, but it's really about branding, and it's really about finding those groups that you have to just spend the time. And I think going back to whether you have a budget or not, you want to sort of say, okay, how much time do I have? Do I have 20 minutes to spend a day, 2 hours to spend a day? How am I going to allocate this? And I think just putting like 5 to 10 minutes onto LinkedIn a day could really amazing returns. And discoveries. There's the chat rooms that are there. There are events that you can post there. I think that's really where all of those books should live primarily.
That, I'm writing all this down. That's just a neat idea.
I can send you. I mean, I can send you some good examples of case studies. But I think.
Oh, good. Okay.
Especially this is Eon. Like, you know, each sale means quite a lot and can take a lot of risk. But you can, you know, there's so many fun creative things you could do depending on the topic that you can. Release little excerpts, you can connect to columns, you can have video chats, you can have book clubs, you can pair with other meaningful leaders in the field who aren't necessarily authors and promote that live chat, because you can have a very effective audience of like 5 to 50 people that will affect the life of the book as much as, you know, an audience of 200 people live. And it's, you know, it's, you'll be in your office or you'll be in your living room doing this.
That's very really spot on, and I think so helpful.
It's a really white collar audience. It's a very highly educated audience. It's a really targeted audience, and the titles that you're working with, especially, are really you can search the demographic information, the marketing information that they make available to you is just highly targeted. So it's a really effective place to promote business books.
What do you think about issuing a press release? I'm a fan of, again, even if it's a short ebook, you know, but say, you know, it's really well done and a great cover and just is totally credible and professional. So what do you think about issuing a press release through a service like PR Web, which
I think press releases have their place. I wouldn't use them for everything, and I think they can be, you know, highly effective if they're done really well. You have to make sure the headline is really newsy and catchy and kind of controversial. I would not, unless it's a really A-list author, I don't think using anything relating to the title or the author works very well. But I wouldn't recommend it. It sort of doesn't take that much time. So in terms of how effective it is, I don't think it's always incredibly effective. I think more targeted pitching is much more effective. It depends who it's coming from. I think if it's coming from the publisher and it's important to have a regular voice and regular announcements coming out through, you know, consistent outlets. But from the author's perspective, if you have, you know, $1,000 to spend, I'm not sure that's the best place to spend it if that's what you're looking at in terms of the lay of the land and the life of the book.
How would you spend $1,000? Say again,
it really depends on if you give me sort of a case study, I'd be able to answer that. I think different. I mean, you know, I can sort of make things up. Like if you gave me a title that was related to the Oscars right now, I think getting into that noisy space and doing like a really targeted press release and making sure you back it up with pushes on various social networks and then reached out for an op-ed. You want to sort of have like a three-tiered approach to everything you're doing and choose a moment in time and have a kind of balloon event. Because if you do sort of, you know, major outreach but spread it out over time, it's almost like doing nothing. You want to kind of create a little bit of a mushroom effect right there. But other, you know, another kind of title, if it's more consumer-driven or if it's an author, it depends what your goals are. You know, if it's an author that you're really trying to grow and trying to make a platform for, you might really want to send them out there, out to different markets and use that money for travel. Even if the events are not huge, the face-to-face time with sort of booksellers and consumers is really, really valuable, and you can record it in different ways and use it for different purposes. So I think for any campaign you're working on, you really need to think about what are you trying to achieve here? Where are you trying to go? What's the next thing that's going to happen? And then construct a campaign around that. But I don't think there's one answer.
I think for most of the beta authors, they're pretty clear. The goal of the book is to get more business or get a new kind of business, and to establish themselves as a published author.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think any of the beta authors are really expecting to sell thousands and thousands of copies. But again, as you put it, getting in front of the right 5 people, the right 50 people, can be very significant. So that's in general. And then the book that Voxy Media is about to publish is it's about insurance, about a form of insurance for big companies.
Mm-hmm.
Workers' comp and health insurance,
right.
And it's written as a novella. So, and it's written by a guy who happens to be a really good writer, and he runs an insurance brokerage. So, I'm thinking as you're talking that LinkedIn is the right place.
I think LinkedIn would be great for that. And I haven't read it, but I think a press release you want to relate it to a larger issue. And I
think
workers' comp and unemployment right now is such a hot topic, and there's some really dramatic statistics to borrow from, and to position him as an expert on that topic. So you'd want some kind of like headline that's connecting the book to the major breaking news of the day or the week. So either to the inauguration or to, there's so many things you could tie it into, and figuring out what are the 3 to 5 talking points that he's expert in. And really, I think I would maybe for that kind of person, a syndicated radio tour or a blog radio tour that's really like hammering out these 3 to 5 major selling points that he is expert in, and really figuring out a way to position him as the only person that can really answer these questions are the questions I would think about as I brought him to market.
That's a cool idea. Someone else who I think might be on the call is working on a book about pricing, and what we're talking about is pricing strategies for really big companies. She happens to work for DuPont and has done that for DuPont. So, again, that's a very sort of special expert area, when there probably are blogs, or, maybe there are syndicated radio shows that are, money, finance, big business shows.
I mean, I think that's the difference, and you're asking about, if I had a big budget for a publicist versus I don't. I think the same work's going to happen. It's whether or not how much you can outsource. But I think radio and online chats and LinkedIn and job boards of any sort are just, it's hotbeds of conversation and, one-click opportunities for all of your authors.
Now, what do you mean by online chat?
What's that?
What do you mean exactly by online chat?
Well, as you said, let's say that you are, go back to the insurance owner, you can easily, or with some, effort, research, what are the 10 most highly trafficked blogs or community sites about this issue? And you can reach out to the community manager of that site and say, hey, I have an author, or I am an expert in this field. I'd like to do a Skype chat, or a lot of them have live chats, or do a sort of fixed Q&A. So that you're targeting the audience of that blog, and you can do a giveaway, or you can make them available to meet with them if they're interested. There's different ways of approaching it, but a lot of these sites, they're interested in having live chats, like what we're doing right now.
Yeah, no, actually, and again, what you're saying is make sure you find exactly the right outlet and then pitch it in a way that you, the author, or the expert, and I always tell people this, that you're making it easier for them, as in, you know, let me, the
you
author, provide
do
you with content,
you
know, let me provide you with content for your site.
And you want to think to yourself, you know, why do they need to care about me at this moment in time? And
exactly.
Be as, like, specific and urgent about it as possible and constantly answer that question. And don't, you can't skip that process of really finding out, like, okay, you found the 10 top websites or, you know, online magazines or radio shows. You want to really dive in, and so you can pitch them and say, like, oh, you know, Debbie, I love your show and your publishing program. I saw last week you interviewed a publicist. I have a book about a publicist that might relate nicely. And that will demonstrate to the host or the editor that you get it, they're flattered, and they also then want to take the time to engage you.
Well, that really, you know, is just best practices in PR, is to know exactly who you're talking to, know something about them and what they've done, and I always like to say flattery gets you everywhere, but flattery with specific knowledge of content is really effective, because then it's also showing that you know that whatever it is you have to contribute, you, the author, in terms of expertise, is completely relevant and congruent with whatever this site does. So those are really cool ideas. How important is because some of the beta authors actually don't even have their own website. So how important do you think is a book or a book or author website? It's just kind of having a home base.
I don't think it's important at all. I mean, I don't even have a website for my company. I'm making one now, but it's on Facebook. I think you want to be where your community is. I think you can. And also, I think putting up like a really easy one pager, just as sort of an announcer, you want to have something so when people search for you, they find you in your book. But I don't think there's any reason to really spend much money on it.
Well, that's kind of what I've been telling the beta authors.
Yes.
It really could be
cleverly
designed.
You can do.
Right. I'm sorry, what?
There are very cool things you can do, but you don't have to in order to have the same kind of impact. You just want to exist.
But you do want to, again, have a home base online so that when you're approaching a blog or you're on LinkedIn or wherever it is, and I always say ideally it's the title of the book and people can go quick, and it goes to that page and there's just enough there that they can buy the book and find out about you and get the free download of the whatever it is related to the book that's useful, whether it's a worksheet or FAQs or a free chapter or something. And was there
needs
to be a place that people can link back to. I do think that's important, because otherwise, like, how do they find you? I think it's amusing. You know, you really are in the minority of people who are, you know, extremely well connected who don't have a website. It's almost like a badge of honor. I'm not sure you should change it, because I was still able to track you down. Although I was first introduced to you by another person.
You want it to be clear who you are. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm not really an expert service over here, but. Every time I almost did, I just keep changing and evolving, and I don't want to create a fixed identity when I don't need to.
Yeah, and
I have found Facebook to be very effective. But I think, you know, some kind of landing page, something to make it clear is always a good idea. But I think, you know, when you're, like anything else, you want to get out there and do the work. You don't want to get sidetracked by the mechanics of branding, whether it means dealing with, like, lawyers or accountants or designers, or probably you want to keep things as direct from author to reader as possible. So if you have the time and resources, there's a lot that you can do, but I think for sure buy the URL of your name, step number one. Buy the URL of the title of your book, connect them, have a landing page, but that can take, you know, anybody, almost anyone can, that shouldn't cost any money.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, really maybe the better term is landing page.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to open the phones, as they say, and we do have some people listening, and see if there's any questions. So the phones are open, and I think Joanne is there. And
yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, I have a question.
So, Joanne,
hi,
Joanne.
I personally do think reaching out through LinkedIn and your professional societies and the groups you follow on LinkedIn, you know, is just a great way to reach people pretty quickly. I guess my question would be, Debbie has talked before about, you know, giving like this 5-day window of having it be free and wanting it to be so that you pull in a lot of people really fast and that is advantageous. How do you think about that?
I like to try everything. I think why not? If you're interested in that as a promotional, campaign, try it. I think you don't have a lot to lose by trying. I've never given away something for free for that long, but I've done campaigns where I'll downprice it for a period of time, like super, super cheap, like 99 cents or less for, around a particular event, whether it's a media hit or a holiday, or I think there's no promising that can work, but it can.
And also what Joanna's talking about very, very specifically is the Amazon Kindle program, where you enroll in it, you give Amazon exclusivity to publish your ebook specifically.
Right.
And then you're allowed to promote it at $0 for 5 days. They don't have to be consecutive, but 5 days during a 90-day period. And it's just a way, if you can launch in a way that, you're on LinkedIn or wherever, and, go check out my book. It's zero. And I never use the word free. I literally write out, $0.00. Because then it's clear that it has a value, but it's just this really cool promotion. And again, I don't promise that it's going to do any one thing in particular, except it is a great way to basically spread your book around when it's brand new, because almost everyone will download a free ebook. It takes one click.
And then you saw the advantage, Debbie, as in very quickly having enough readers that it kind of popped up as a, what was the word you used?
It's not guaranteed, but I've seen this happen where if you read the what I call the get rich quick Kindle, how to Kindle ebooks, they make the point that you can become a category bestseller. Now you realize a category can be
very narrow.
Internet, computer, it can be like way down there. So it's pretty easy to become a category bestseller, and then I guess technically you can say your book was a bestseller, but it's a nice little kind of add-on. But I was going to ask you something related to that, and now I've forgotten.
While you're thinking about it, I just want to say, gosh, did you really need to say we're all old?
No, we're not old. We're not old. We're mature. We're much more interesting because we're not.
Yeah.
20,
you
20.
Just have to realize some of us are in social media that are more professional things like LinkedIn. Just because we're not Facebook doesn't mean we're socially inept.
Yeah. No. Gosh, that really didn't come across very well, did it? I guess I just meant that it's very interesting, Lisa, who's been attracted to the Beta Author Program, and I guess I call them. Maybe this, Joanne, maybe this word will work. They're basically grown-ups. These people are real grown-ups. These are not 20-somethings who are trying to get rich quick by writing a short ebook. So I think that's a huge compliment. These are grown-ups who are
thank you.
interested in leveraging the publishing revolution to, grow their business and get more speaking, and I hope that's okay. Because, Lisa,
yeah.
I know you belong in the younger group, but... I still can't think of my other question, but Rob, do you have a question? I bet you do.
I do. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us. I really enjoyed your comments and listening to you. Could you talk for a minute or so, however long you'd like, about how your mind moves when someone like me would call you on the phone and might say, so how do I intelligence gather? How do I get a sense of I have a sense of what's out there in terms of governance books. I have a sense that there's an element of niche in the book I'm kind of trying to put out. But how do you gather intelligence and get a sense of, you referred to it as sort of the user community, but how does your mind go about that task?
Well, it's probably my favorite part of what I do. I think when I always sort of rewind a little bit. The first thing I like to do is just take a state of the union of everything that's going on. And I think that it's the most exciting thing to meet someone who, you know, wants to write a book, I think. I think it's, you know, the most heartbreaking and exciting and optimistic thing you could possibly do with your time. And I need to know who that person is and figure out, okay, they wrote the book, but that's just maybe like the least important part. What's everything else that's happening there? How do they spend their time? What's their job? Where are they from? Who's their family? What are their networks? And just to really like crack open your head a little bit so you're not just thinking about the topic of the book and you're not just thinking about the book media. You're thinking about the subject in a really general way. And also, I think one of the wonderful things about social media is that it really rewards being extremely playful and personal. So only, I would suggest, about 15% of what you put out there really should have anything to do with your book. The rest of it should be like fascinating content, which is really the kind of thing that makes you interesting. And I think of, you know, Twitter, for example, is a lot like being at a cocktail party. So you want to think, you know, what are the things that you say to somebody when you meet them that engages them? You really want to engage the person you're talking to. You don't want to just have a megaphone screaming about that one interesting thing you did that day, which is that you want to sell your book. You want to talk about relatable headlines, things that are about your immediate surroundings, activities, personal hobbies, relationships, all of those things. And I sort of take that state of the union, depending on, you know, what the topic is or the person is, the grid will look slightly different. And then you look in, like, what social media network outlet is most appropriate to find people that are most interested in that. And who are those people? Where are they shopping? Are they kind of people that shop at Walmart? Are they kinds of people that shop at Barney's? Do they live in New York? Do they live in Wisconsin? Are they 20 years old? Are they 60 years old? And all of this, you know, you're kind of putting together a profile, like, of a particular kind of person and then feeding them the information. You find them where they already are, I would say. So if you're the governance book, you know, what else are they reading? Where are they finding out what they want to eat that night or what kind of movie they want to see? And then how does your book relate to that? So it's sort of this constant puzzle and dance between figuring out how to bring the content to where the person already is. And I think, I'm not sure if that answers you clearly enough, but it would take me to really different places when I looked online and when I began searching, because one place might be very social media focused, one of it might be very broadcast oriented or print media focused. One of it, something might be totally unrelated. Like if it's a book about sports, you might end up really spending a lot of time in, you know, AM radio, or look, Modell's is having a promo on baseball bats. I wonder if there's a connection there and we can give a book away with every baseball bat sold, or that kind of thing. So I think I become really obsessive about the particular subject and author, right, and just think from that lens at everything I'm looking at. But I think the most interesting part of it is to sort of take that the book media part as a given and where else are they, and trying to find the news tie-ins and make the book as relevant as possible with every sort of turn you take.
Gotcha. It almost makes me think of mind mapping in terms of how you just did that. No, I'm serious, and that's a compliment. But it's sort of getting out of a very fixed place to sort of broaden that and look at an awful lot of. You're looking at it from a number of different perspectives, which I think makes
it's more
it
of like a branding question and identity. Yeah. That's what really bursts things out, and that's, I think, going back to what Debbie and I were talking about, how it really rewards an entrepreneurial spirit. I think that's the way an entrepreneur thinks.
Right. Right. Super. Thank you very much.
No, Lisa, that was just so interesting, and I can see you literally just live and breathe this in a way that's so fascinating to me, because your mind, as Rob says, goes off in these directions, and I'm like, wow, that's perfect. Whoa, that's perfect. How did she do that? So I just, on behalf of everyone listening, I just want to thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Debbie. It's always fun to talk to you.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So thank you, and hope we'll talk again soon. Okay,
bye-bye,
everybody.
Have a good day, everyone.
It was great. I just want to thank you as well. You're very well done.
Thank you. It was great talking to you guys. Have a good night.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.